You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. There's water on Mars, but no methane gas. Did you see those headlines? 5 papers were published yesterday, a few more last week. So we're learning more about what NASA has learned in the first 100 days of the Curiosity's mission to the Red Planet. UC Davis geology professor Dawn Sumner is also a NASA co-investigator on the project, and she's joining us by phone. Hi, Dawn. Welcome back to Insight.
Good morning.
So we've talked with you more about traces of water in the Mars samples, but these papers say it's measurable. Would you explain?
When you look at the surface of Mars, it looks really dry and it is a desert. But what we did with the Curiosity rover is scoop up some of the sand that the wind had blown, and we put it in an oven and heated it up. And when we heat it up, water vapor comes off, and it's a lot of water for a very dry environment.
So we wouldn't think of it as moist, though, compared to planet Earth. It would still be extremely dry to us, correct?
Yes, it would. But if you compare it to something like the moon, it's much wetter. And one of the important things about having that water vapor that can be released when you heat the soil is if we do ever send astronauts to Mars, that would be a source of water for them. There's enough of it that it would be significant to help them stay on the planet.
Tell me how that would happen. A cubic foot of dirt could be processed by a remote team on Mars?
Yes, they'd have to have lots of energy to heat it up, but you could heat it up and the water vapor would be released. And then on a cool surface, it'll form little droplets, and those could run down and you could collect those.
So that's, I guess you'd call it a sign of life or a potential factor for life. Let's move to the methane, which would have been a completely different sign, and there was no sign of methane.
Yes, methane is a gas that is produced in a number of different ways. On Earth, most of it is produced either by bacteria or by processes underground where you have organic matter heated up and it makes oil and gas, and natural gas includes methane. It can also be produced if you just have hot water and a little bit of hydrogen or in carbon dioxide and interact with rocks. So on Earth, most of the methane is from life, but some also comes from abiotic processes. We didn't see any on Mars with Curiosity. Other instruments, for example, telescopes from Earth, have seen suggestions that there is some methane being released from the subsurface of Mars that goes into the atmosphere. When and where we tried to measure it with Curiosity, we did not find any methane, and we have a very sensitive detector. So it's a big mystery.
So every question raises, what, 200, 300, or 100 more questions, Dawn?
Yeah, that's a really exciting adventure of science, is that you go and you try to answer a question and you end up with more. And so just on Twitter the other day, we were having some funny exchanges, and to me, half the adventure of science and something like this mission is answering questions, and the other half is finding new and harder questions.
So no methane, but definitely water. What are some of your intriguing next questions?
One of the things we want is the history of water. So as we talked about, I think it was much earlier this year, we found some rounded pebbles, which suggest that there were streams flowing in this area of Mars.
Right.
Now we have some of this water vapor. We found some clay minerals, which require long-term interaction between water and minerals. So we're getting all these little pieces, and they represent water at different times on Mars. And we're trying to put them all together into sort of the history of water in this area. And we want to know if water has just been there occasionally over the billions of years that the site represents, or whether it's more continuous. And if the water is more continuous, it's more likely that this environment could have supported life on Mars.
I'm speaking with Dawn Sumner. She is the UC Davis geology professor who is also part of NASA's team of investigators in the Mars Curiosity project. The rover's on the move now, isn't it?
Yes, our main goal is to drive several miles to the base of Mount Sharp. We did choose four places along the way that we want to do some intensive investigations, and I just got off a month of intense work on the first one, and we got lots of beautiful data, and we saw some sandstones, again with some pebbles. They're a little different than we saw before, and we're working to sort out what those imply for water as well.
Obviously, your focus is on the rock, and you did some study of this Jay Rock, the rock named mm-hmm. for Jake, the investigator. And can you give us any glimpse into what you're seeing now combined with what you already learned?
We're seeing that there are a whole bunch of different rock types here. So the Jake M rock was the first one we did what we call contact science on, which we have an instrument that we put up against the rock, and it'll take microscopic images. And then we have another one that tells us the elemental chemistry. And that first rock we did this on is a rock that's more like Earth than anything we've seen on Mars before. And now what we're seeing as we're going across these really rocky plains is there are white rocks and gray rocks and sparkly rocks and dull rocks, and they seem to have different compositions. And so most of what we've analyzed on Mars before are just a few different types of rocks, and at this site we're finding a much, much greater diversity. And we think that's because there's been more processes. A lot of Mars is dominated by volcanic processes, but here in Gale Crater, we're seeing a lot of what we call sedimentary processes, where rocks that are broken down into grains and pebbles get washed into the area, and that lets you get a whole bunch of different rock types from a broad area.
You still sound excited and inspired.
I am. It is really, really an exciting adventure.
How much of the mission is complete now? Or I should ask it the other way, how much is still ahead?
It's easier to answer the complete part. We're just past our first year of the mission, and what we call the prime mission is 2 years long, and it goes through October next year. So we have one more year that's funded, but the rover is still going strong, and it's expected to last much longer. And so we're going to start putting together a proposal for what we call an extended mission, which will describe the science that we want to do in the next two-year period. And we'll keep doing that as long as we can.
Good. Well, we're keeping the phone line and the studio open to you, okay?
That's excellent.
Dawn, thank you so much.
Thank you, Beth.
There's more online, including a link that we have to all of the Curiosity papers that were published this week, and you can find it at capradio.org/insight. That's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruyak. Our senior producer is Jen Picard. Our producer is James Morrison. Our technical director is Mark Jones. Our engineer today was Evan Matzler. Our executive producer is Joe Barr. And as always, thank you for joining us.